So I got the email from Pastor Sherry that said this service was going to be focusing on slowing down, and especially slowing down our judgments. And so I, you know, felt like I needed to have a story. And shock of all shocks, a story for judgment, thousands of them seemed to pop up. So I told a different one at the 8 o'clock service. So I have another one. So, and it kind of goes along with Missy's story. So I'm a school psychologist from preschool all the way up to adult. And so I meet with a lot of teachers and parents. And this happened to be a meeting where it was all of us that were on our intervention team to provide support. And then we talk about, we invite the parents in and we talk about their student, about what concerns we have. Well, I've seen a wide range, you can imagine, of parenting styles, both good and bad. And a mom and a dad walked in. And so I didn't really know, you know, what was going to happen. But I did see, I judged the book by the cover, because Dad had everything that I could see pierced. So he had a nose pierced, he had his lip pierced, he had one of the gauges in his ear. You know, if you don't know what a gauge is, it gets bigger and bigger, and then to make the hole in your ear bigger. And then he had a lot of tattoos. So in my mind, I was thinking, oh, gravy, here we go. Well, throughout the meeting, my eyes kept getting bigger and bigger, because Mom and Dad were both having great parenting ideas, and they were saying things that were like, rock on, you're a wonderful parent. And at the in the middle of the meeting, I, being the brilliant orator that I am, I said, can I ask a question? Are you guys married? Before I, you know, kind of stick my foot in my mouth. And he said, he turned to what I thought was his wife, and he said, we've never been married, but we chose to have a child together, and it's our responsibility to raise this child together. And she's a very good friend of mine, and so we are on the same page for parenting. And I almost stood up and applauded. And I did say, you guys are excellent parents. I had to eat my words, even though I didn't say them, that I judged a book by its cover, and the inside of that book was a great book. So now, keeping in mind some of the times that you may have judged by a book by its cover, let's do some praying. Dear Lord, today we're listening to your word and learning about slowing down, especially in our quickness to judge. You challenge us to not take the easy road and love only those easily loved or forgive those easily forgiven. You remind us that in our judgments, we run the risk of not knowing those of your believers that are very worth knowing, or not finding a believer who currently does not believe. You see into each of our lives, and while there are many things that you could judge, you do not. You lift us up and allow us second chances. Give us the opportunity to grow, and that is what we pray we can do for others. We pray for all those friends, family, and our church family, particularly who are our prayer quilts today. We pray for acquaintances and strangers who are in need, and we do so without judgment, but with love. We thank you for your guidance and the opportunity to participate in a democracy in this country, the chance to have our voices heard, and we pray that you guide us and our potential leaders in their choices. We praise you, Lord, and now silently we lift up those prayers and concerns that we each have. Hear our prayers, Lord, and know we are listening and learning. Learning as you taught your disciples this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much. Sita Garrett and Glenn Ballard wrote Man in the Mirror. And when Michael Jackson released this, one of the reviewers in Rolling Stone wrote, it's a straightforward homily of personal commitment. No message could have been clearer. If you want to make a change, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Let's pray. Lord, let this holy word today speak to us, not simply to make us feel better, but that we might, on this day and in this present, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make a change that reflects your reign. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all about God's reign and God's kingdom. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that get kind of stuck on saying, I know where God's kingdom is. It is my heavenly home. And by belief in Jesus Christ and what he did for me, dying on the cross and rising to new life, I have been guaranteed a place in that heavenly home where God reigns. But I would like to remind all of us that in our understanding as Christians in this world, that God's reign came near as Jesus walked this earth, and God's reign is now and extends into the future for all eternity. So if we are anticipating living in God's reign at some point, we're missing out, because God's reign is now. And we have been taking this time during the Lenten season, the 40 days and the 6 Sundays before Easter, to figure out in a time of rest, in a time of slowing down, what it might be for us to live in God's reign and move even closer. So things that we've talked about already, we looked at Jesus' temptation and found in that story this understanding of getting hooked in with Scripture, to know who God is, and relying in prayer on God's presence. We took a Sunday to just talk about the blessing of rest and how rest can, and slowing down can invigorate our bodies and our minds and our souls. And last week, we talked about how resting in the moments of joy and in the moments of sorrow, giving them the time that they need can be a blessing and allow God to come closer. And if you've missed any of those messages, I invite you to find them at brightonfumc.org. There's a regular podcast, and you can actually sign up each week, and that will be delivered to you. This week, we're talking about slowing down in our judgments. And I'll tell you kind of where this story is taking place from Jesus. It's in Luke 6, and it's actually a parallel with the more famous sermon that Jesus gave in Matthew 5 through 7, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. And so this one in Luke 6, is called the Sermon on the Plain. But if you read through it, if you have an opportunity, I invite you to take both sermons, get a couple of Bibles or flip back and forth this afternoon and look at the Matthew Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, and then Luke, starting in chapter 6, and you'll see some parallels, but you'll also see some differences. And so what Luke does is he starts by talking about how the poor are blessed. Those who are suffering in life are blessed, and those who are rich and oppress the poor will be judged. Will be set apart and punished. And it is some difficult words to talk about. But then Jesus goes on to talk about how we might find ourselves in the place of mercy, that we might live in God's reign now in that merciful way. And so we heard this morning some of the words that Kelly read. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. He went on to say, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Now I'm telling you, that's it's hard to do in this world. It really is. Because our culture says, decide who is for you and who is against you. Decide who's good and who's bad. Decide who the enemy is and stay away from the enemy. And if we're not quick to judge the book by its cover, the people we see, then there are plenty of people around who are happy to help us and lead us to judgment. This is a story that comes from Stephanie Barrett. Now, I have to say, I got to tell you a little background, is that when Susan has her music group on Wednesday night, all of the kids that come to that, when they are learning a new song, she sits down with them and she shares scripture. She talks about when the song will be in front of the worshiping community, and she asks them some questions so that they understand what they're singing. So Susan asked the children to tell stories of when they have experienced judgment. This story comes from Stephanie Barrett. She's in the fourth grade.
So last year when I was in third grade, we were next to the outside playground and there were windows. And there was this one kid that always banged on them and it was really annoying the class. So one day we all went out there and we found out it was just a little kindergartner and she didn't really know like what she was supposed to be doing. And not. So we learned that it grew like less annoying than when we found out who it was.
I love that. It was less annoying when we found out who it was. Stephanie tells a story of a class being upset because someone's intentionally banging on the windows and then they find out that there's a kindergartner who didn't know any better and there's suddenly a spirit of forgiveness. I have to, though, sympathize with Stephanie's class because I really think, for me, I'm quick to react. I jump to conclusions. It's a problem I have, and often I'm ready to judge at a moment's notice. I remember talking with our assistant to the bishop, Reverend Melanie Carey, and I was telling her this story, and I was just, I'm telling you, I was full speed judging. And I was just talking about this person who was making my life difficult and what they had done and getting, you know, in that kind of that self-righteous mode, you know, separating myself. And this is what Reverend Carey said to me. She said, well, I don't know the person, but this is what I do know is sometimes hurting people hurt others. Whoa. What she did in those words is she asked me to step back and to take a moment before judgment and to ask some questions. What was happening in this person's life that caused this hurtful behavior to come forward? Jesus preached to those people a couple thousand years ago, but Jesus preaches to us as well and asks us some challenging questions. How do we deal with enemies? How do we judge other people? And how do we offer forgiveness? Now, I'm watching the news, I'm listening, and I know we've got a presidential primary this week. And there are more than enough people who are willing to tell us their judgments. And I'm wondering how I might, before this vote, slow down enough to come to my own conclusions, to ask deep and thoughtful questions about the candidates. Now, I'm not suggesting, and Jesus wasn't either, that slowing down and refraining from judgment, loving our enemies, is some kind of passivity, that we just lie down and take everything. It's actually more courageous to stand up and say, I will keep an open mind, and I will say no to anything that perpetuates judgment or violence or hatred in this world. Jesus was not saying, stop standing up. Jesus was suggesting that we stand up and say, I will not be a part of aggression. I will not be a part of violence or violent words or judgments that hurt other people. It's easy to love those who love us. Jesus said it's easy to do good if we figure we're going to get a little good back. It's easy to forgive when the other person is all equipped to forgive us. But what do we do when the challenge is tougher? I want to tell you a story about Alice Paul. Alice Paul was a suffragette, a woman who fought for women's rights in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. She was first in Great Britain, and then she moved over to the United States, and she was a voice for women who she felt were voiceless in this nation with no recourse when it came to the politics and the way this country was going. And so she determined that women needed to speak out, especially as an amendment started to travel through all of the processes that it has to do to get to be the law of the land. And so she gathered women together and taught them about protesting. Now, she had a model, because at that time, for the last several decades, labor unions in this nation had been very active in their organizing. So she studied organizing techniques and how they did. And the thing that she was concerned about is that often labor rallies, we can talk about how this happened, but often there would be some kind of violence, and she didn't want that. And so she instructed women in this revolutionary idea to go and stand in places like in front of the White House with their signs and to stand silently and to simply keep a vigil that would remind people that there were people in this nation who were silenced by the law. And so these protests continued, and people would walk by and shout and spit on them, and they would be arrested. Over and over again, the people were arrested. I have you could see this during coffee hour better, but I have this little pin on today, and it's a replica of a pin that Alice Paul would give to women who were arrested for the cause of women's rights. It's a little jail door that women would wear to show, I have been carried away, I've been arrested for this. Well, the right for women to vote came, and we can give thanks to the many courageous men and women who worked for that to happen. But I give thanks to Alice Paul and women like her today who said, I'm not going to use force against force. I'm going to stand clearly and strongly for what I believe and ask for that. I think that when Jesus spoke to the people on the Sermon on the Plain, he was offering something that was revolutionary. He was offering a new way, a way of love and a way of peace. And it is good to know that if we can live into this kingdom, this reign of God in this way of love and peace, it is the measure with which God will measure us, the standard with which God will use for us. We love because we are loved without condition. We offer mercy because it is what we give thanks for through God, and we refrain from judging because it is what we expect and love about Jesus, our Savior. I know it's difficult, and it's difficult on a one-on-one basis. I share another story with you. This comes from Abby Drabing.
All my friends and me always made fun of because she wouldn't go in the water, and we thought she was just really a scaredy cat. And then we went and asked her what was it about, and she told us a story how she almost drowned the last time she went swimming and someone had to save her. And so then we kind of understood more about her.
What a wonderful reminder that often when we take the time to ask some questions and to understand people better, that we get a better connection with them and we're more forgiving. I have had the opportunity to work in church mediation, working in churches that have conflicts within them, or working with individuals or in a church, or even groups within a church that are conflicted, are divided, and are struggling. And there's this sheet that you can use in helping people to get ready to discuss the conflict. And I love it. You pass it out to everyone. And the sheet says, well, tell us the problem. What's the problem? What are some of the repercussions of the problem? What's happened? And then there's this excellent question. How have you contributed to the problem? Now, I have to tell you, I have gotten sheets back to say I haven't. No, I haven't contributed at all. But I think that it's really a wonderful technique to get people to slow down and to say, whatever the issue is, probably in some way I've contributed. As I work with premarital couples, if we find that conflict resolution or working in conflict and communication is a growing edge for that couple, I will use a similar sheet. We'll decide on an ongoing conflict in their relationship. We'll write it down. We'll talk about some of the ways that shows itself. And then I will ask each of them to make a list of how they've contributed. Sometimes it takes a long time to think that through. And I really think that's the slowing down in our lives. If we slow down, we're less likely to tear down. Now, I have to tell you that when I was thinking about that, my brother Ted came to mind. One of the many things he does with his construction company is he rips down a building. Now, I think it would be so easy for him if he could just go in and take down a house. Just go in a day, take it out, and take the rubble away. But he can't do that. You just can't go in and wreck houses. And so, first of all, you have to have a permit. Someone has to say, oh, it's all right. Okay, you can wreck this house. Then he has to go in and check for electric lines, live electric gas lines. He has to go in and check all over for hazardous materials. If I tear this place down, what harm might come to the community is the question he needs to ask. And then he has to go in, and I love this part, he has to go in and find out what's valuable. Because I'm often the recipient of these very odd things he finds. But he goes in and he gets what's valuable and he brings it out, then he rips the place down. Consider this in our lives if this is the way we treated people. That we said, all right, first of all, I got to think, if I judge this person, if I tear this person down, in what way might I be harming the community? By my behavior, by my stand? Another question to ask is, should I go in first before I do the teardown and see what's valuable? Is there something of value here that I'm missing? There are questions that slow us down. How have I contributed? What am I missing here before I do this thing? There's a new book out, but it's a new old book, and I've started reading it, and I'd get you copies, but it's flying off the shelf, so you're just going to have to go on Amazon and get a hold on it, but I'll tell you what the name of it is. It's by Frances Asbury, very active missionary for our church in the 1700s. So Frances Asbury was first published in 1792, and it's called The Causes, Evils, and Cures. So you can just put that in. The Causes, Evils, and Cures of Heart and Church Divisions. The Causes, the Evils, and the Cures of Heart and Church Divisions. Now, the book was published again in the 1800s, just in the 40s, when the church was starting to be divided over the slavery issue. And I think it's fascinating that the book has been published again this year. As we go to General Conference, remember I've talked with you about that, about going to General Conference and some of the hard issues that our church is facing, especially around same-sex marriage, okay? And so this book comes out, and it's divided into these short little snippets, and so the first part talks about, here are the causes of division. The second part is, here is what can happen because of division, and the third part is, here's a way to cure division. And in the causes, there are these 18 separate things. Some of them are character issues, and some of them are behavior issues. But they involve, like, pride and selfishness, and behaviors like whispering and complaining, planting dissension. And he hits them right on the head in a paragraph. He said, this is what it looks like. And I have to tell you that reading that has called me personally to conviction in terms of what it means to be in relationship with other Christians, in relationship with the world, and for the church. I believe that there's another significant question that we can ask besides, how am I contributing to this conflict? We can ask in regards to the kingdom, how will I contribute? When I am given the opportunity to judge, when I am given the opportunity to hate, when I'm given the opportunity to decide who is in and who is out, what will I contribute by my behavior, by my conversation to that? I heard a guy a couple of weeks ago, this was so powerful for me, he was talking about within the church and in the body of Christ, how he behaves. And he said, I want people to remember at communion, this is the body broken for you. I don't want anyone to say to me, this is the body broken by you. We have the opportunity by our words and our behavior to raise up the reign of God, not to wait for it, but to live in it right now. We have the opportunity by asking questions, by slowing our judgments, by reflecting the life of Christ. And so this is my challenge for you this week. Get one thing. I'm not telling you to stop judgment completely because, woo, I mean, I'd be pretty hypocritical. But I would invite you to find that one place where you're leaning toward judgment, that one place where you're going to just feed that resentment and that hate, and to slow down. Just slow down and ask some good questions. How have I contributed? What a value am I about to tear down? How will I contribute in this situation? I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Lord, come by here and in the places where our judgments have harmed, offer your mercy. And in the places that are coming, where we can refrain and powerful bring your kingdom, Lord, offer your strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.